Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Over the past 75 years, more than 10,000 chemicals have entered our food supply, but the EU allows just 300 additives. At Thrive Market, we prioritize quality, banning over 1,000 ingredients found in conventional grocery stores. Our Healthy Swap scanner helps you find better versions of your pantry essentials without the junk, dyes, or fillers, and everything is delivered right to your doorstep. So shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health at thrivemarket.com/get started for 30% off your first order and a free $60 gift.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 18.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Episode 8 of Season 18. I can't believe that already next week's episode will be our penultimate episode of the season before we take our standard end of season 3-week break and return for season 19. And we have some very exciting news regarding season 19, which will be shared with our Patreons first and will be announced on our penultimate episode next week. And I genuinely cannot wait to share that news with you, especially after season 18 has proven to be our most interactive season to date. You will have often heard me bang on about how I want this to be your show, and me to be a mere conduit to tell your experiences. And we are now getting to that point, I genuinely feel it. This season, especially with the amount of back and forth correspondence, both between you and I and between yourselves as a listener group. And that listener group is something which I genuinely have a heartfelt, sincere appreciation for. And there's a wonderful word called qualia, which means you don't know how to describe the word. And that's exactly what this feeling is when I think about the community we've managed to build together. And it's only growing stronger and stronger. And interestingly, I thought as the community grew, it would start to lose its ethos, i.e. paying everyone respect and being a safe space. But on the contrary, it's grown even stronger, it's become even more supportive, and it's become arguably a safer place than it ever has been, which is something that's blown my mind completely. Also, when we look at season 19 moving forward, with the announcement to come, and then, finally, season 20. And when I say, finally, season 20, I mean from season 20 onwards, we will no longer be numbering the seasons. We will still have seasons, of course, because even podcasters need a break, but we will no longer be numbering the seasons because I think by season 20, or by the end of season 20, The Dark Paranormal itself will be fully established as, I think, the safest paranormal community online. And I know that's a very bold claim, but I genuinely think that's the case. And the fantastic thing about that is that's not down to me. I've created a platform for like-minded individuals to group together. It's a community effort that has built this space, and it does genuinely give me hope in humanity. Now, I am going to talk about Patreon briefly because it does offer perks, obviously, and it supports the show and allows it to keep running. But I also want to emphasise that if you're unable to join Patreon, you're not thought any less of as part of this community, and you can still do your part for absolutely no charge to help the show grow. Leave us a nice review, subscribe, mention it to friends, because I do think, together, we can make this show the best it's ever been. More people leads to more experiences, which leads to more discussion. And our thought process around the paranormal grows. So whether at this time you can join Patreon or not, you can still help what you've made grow even better by doing the things we've mentioned. However, for around the price of an indoor coffee per month, you can join our wonderful community over on Patreon. When you sign up, not only will you receive everything on this main feed, both ad-free and before everyone else, and yes, that includes upcoming finales and season debuts, but also you can gain full access to the back catalogue of the Patreon-only podcast, Dark Bites. Dark Bites has almost 100 hours of Patreon-only content, which is all listener stories. And it's the one show that never takes a break, releasing each and every Sunday of the year without fail. So, with a break in seasons coming up, now's the perfect time to head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. And once you do so, we've reserved a special part at the end of every episode to thank you personally. But right now, it's time. Lower the lights. Make yourself comfortable, and most importantly of all, leave your disbelief at the door as we listen to In Grief, the Veil Rips. Hi, Kev. My name is Jasmine. I've been writing this email for months now, and I figure it's finally time to send it your way. I've changed the names for all the individuals in this email for their privacy, but you can use my real name. I'm so thankful I found your podcast 7 months ago. I'm originally from Newfoundland and currently live in Alberta, Canada. I'm happy to say I'm finally a Patreon member and have been deep diving into Dark Bites. I'm in my late 20s. I turn 30 in a few days, but I'm still enjoying the in my 20s phase too much to give it up. I also want to note that I was diagnosed with ADHD in my 20s, and it really resonated with me, even giving me goosebumps, during one recent episode when a submitter mentioned a potential connection to the paranormal and being neurodivergent. I really do think our brains work on a different wavelength. I've always been incredibly sensitive, not only emotionally, but to changes in my environment. I think this has some connection to the paranormal, as folks are able to feel the energies of rooms they walk into, etc. I believe I'm one of those people. I also believe that paranormal experiences do show up easier for children. When you think about it, developmentally, their brains are like sponges. They are little scientists trying to learn about their world. And I think that makes them a lot more susceptible to changes in their environment. My first experience occurred when I was a child, about 4 years of age. I know you don't typically discuss positive experiences on this podcast, but I think it's important to mention this experience as it's opened up for additional experiences down the road that were less positive in nature. At this time, my parents were still together. They later divorced when I was 8. I'd somehow managed to convince my dad to let me sleep in his room, as I was a very anxious, attached child. My mum wasn't sleeping in the bed with us. I believe she was sleeping in my room instead. Maybe from lack of space, given how much I enjoy sprawling out, and I do have a tendency to kick in my sleep, so I've been told. In the bed, I was positioned closest to the bedroom door. My dad was closest to the window. My parents always slept with the door completely closed in their rooms. I remember waking up to a loud creaking noise as the door opened. At this point, being 4 years old before the internet existed, I had no idea what a ghost looked like. At most, I may have seen Casper the cartoon, but certainly not what I experienced next. I remember looking up and seeing a tall, shadow-like figure pushing open the door. The figure had no features, but it stood up straight. You could point out the hands, the torso, the head, but no specific facial features. I stared at this figure inquisitively and observed it walk past my side of the bed, towards where my dad was sleeping on the far side of the room. Once the figure reached my dad's side of the bed, it stared down at him, my dad being in a deep sleep at the time. I sat up, watching the figure, and I gently shook my dad awake, pleading for him to see what was happening. And in a tired stupor, he directed me to go back to sleep. No matter what I said, he was clearly not awake and not able to reason. The shadow figure stood still and continued to stare down at my dad. After what felt like ages, the shadow figure started to move towards the door to leave the bedroom. But once they reached the middle of the bed, they stopped, raised their head, and began looking at me. It felt like they were doing this forever. They were almost studying me, as I was studying it. Yet, during this, I was not afraid, more excited. I can't fully explain it, but I felt a sense of warmth around me, a sense of familiarity. I knew that what was happening was not of concern, and I knew this shadow figure was not a threat. And then, for some reason that is currently completely unfathomable to me, and almost humorous, I jumped out of bed and said hello to them, and told them my name. I held out my hand and told them I would walk downstairs with them. I remember the feeling when they put their hand in mine. It wasn't warm like you'd expect it to be if a person held your hand. But I did feel a kind of sensation and could see the silhouette's hand in mine, if that makes any sense. I held their hand and walked downstairs to the kitchen. I remember looking at the clock on the microwave, and yes, it was 3 a.m. I told the shadow person that my dad would be upset if he knew I was up. I also remember telling them that if they wanted popcorn, they could put a bag of popcorn in the microwave and put it on for 3 minutes. I think back to this and laugh because clearly that popcorn would have burnt, and why would a spirit want popcorn? Nonetheless, I said goodbye to this shadow person, parted ways and crawled back to bed. The next day, I told my parents what happened, and of course, they did not believe me. For years and years, they dismissed my experience and told me I'd imagine the whole thing. But I know my experience was real. I've never been one to have dreams that make sense, and at this point in my life, I'd never heard of a shadow person. But since learned that this is a very real experience, and exactly matches what I experienced. My dad has later admitted that it is possible it was my uncle who died in a car accident at 19, or my grandfather who passed before my birth. And it would make sense, considering the land my family home was built on was inherited through my dad's side. I get emotional reading back this experience, because the warmth I felt seems to confirm this may indeed have been a family member. This was my first experience with the paranormal, a positive experience that I believe has made me more susceptible to other paranormal experiences. My next experience with the paranormal occurred when I was around 13 years old. My parents had since divorced, and my mum, brother and I had moved into a 100-year-old house. My nan, my mum's mum, had recently passed away, and this was the first loss I'd ever experienced. I remember really struggling to make any sense of any of it. How could one person be there one day, then gone the next? Where did they go? I often thought about my previous experience with the shadow person, and I didn't understand why my nan didn't come back like that. I remember sitting in my room many nights saying out loud, but quiet enough so no one else could hear, "Nan, are you okay? Please show me you're here and that you're okay." Weeks went by without anything, and I started to give up and accept that I would not be getting any signs from her. Shortly after, my aunt, my mum's sister, told my mum about a voicemail she received the day before. She was very shaken by this voicemail. She said she'd had a missed call from an unknown number and that they left a voicemail. When my aunt listened to the voicemail, apparently it was my nan's voice, clear as day, saying, "I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm okay," in a reassuring manner. My aunt repeatedly listened to it and said it was without a doubt her mum. She was very shaken by this voicemail. After listening to it, she held her phone out and tried to save it, but accidentally deleted the voicemail. She was devastated by this, but swore to everyone it was my nan. She couldn't understand how she managed to delete it. When my mum told me this, I started to cry and told her about how often I'd spoken to Nan and asked if she was okay. We all agreed that this was Nan's way of letting everyone know she was fine. Around that time, things started happening in the house we lived in. Very subtle nonetheless. One thing to note about my Nan is that she loved her tea. I can't even tell you how many cups of tea she would go through a day. It was her signature. We noticed the kettle would turn on at random times in the house. Mum would say, "Jazz, was that you?" "Was what me?" I'd reply. "Did you just turn the kettle on?" "No," I'd reply. And then Mum would say, "Oh, it must have been Mum then. Mum, enjoy your tea," she'd say, laughing. It was a nice sentiment and I agreed with her, but never truly agreed with her, because something always felt off about that house. This house was cold, uninviting. My mum blamed it on the older insulation, and that certainly didn't help, but I think it went much deeper than that. I remember constantly feeling this sense of unease, being watched. And given my previous experience, I figured if it was someone from my family who meant me no harm, I'd feel at ease. But I did not. I was scared, constantly. That kind of primal fear where you can't exactly explain why, but you know you're unsafe and you need to get out of there as soon as possible. Let's take a quick break in proceedings to talk to you about somebody I've mentioned to you many times before, and that's Acorns. A new year, of course, brings new resolutions. Now, if my body could take itself to the gym, I would be sorted, but it can't do that. However, in regards to your financial situation, Acorns allows you to do that. Not take you to the gym, of course. But if in 2025, giving your money the best chance to grow is one of your resolutions, then choosing Acorns as an investment app is one of the smartest moves you'll make, in my opinion. Acorns will do the taking you to the gym, so to speak. You can set up an automatic withdrawal from your account to your Acorns account. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. And you don't need to be rich. Acorns allows you to invest with the spare money you have right now. You can start with $5 or even just your spare change. We are so proud to be once again sponsored by Acorns for this episode because Acorns make it so easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. I love working with Acorns because they take things like investments, which we all believe are for other people, and they simplify them and give you all the support you need. Head to acorns.com/dark paranormal or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid on client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/dark paranormal. Being at the age of 13, my mum finally started giving me some freedom, as I didn't need a babysitter. One Friday evening, my elder brother Jeremy, 15, had plans to go to his friend's house. My mum also had plans to go to her sister's house, the same sister who consequently got the voicemail from my nan, and I got home from school and was so excited knowing the plans. Because this meant I had that family computer all to myself. So I could chat with my friends on MSN and watch stupid YouTube videos for as long as I wanted. Our house was very small. The first floor had a small kitchen and living room and a set of narrow stairs leading to the second floor. At the top of those stairs, my mum's room was immediately to the left, and my brother's and my bedrooms were located at the far end of the hallway. In my mum's room, there was a small table against the wall next to the stairs, which held the family computer and an old AM/FM digital radio alarm clock, which is an important detail for later. After supper, I went upstairs to my mum's room / the family computer room. I was on MSN chatting with my friend Danny. I thought my mum was still home at this point and soon to be leaving. Time flew by. And before I knew it, an hour had passed. All of a sudden, I hear something downstairs. Now, at this point, we had a landline phone, where you could hear the dial tone as you pressed the buttons. I remember hearing the buttons being pressed on the landline. And I thought nothing other than, Mum must still be home. She's probably trying to get a hold of my aunt before she leaves. At this point, I'm silent and listening. Then the dial tones stop. I call out, Mum, are you still home? But get no reply. I called out again, Mum? Nothing. At this point, I was admittedly a bit freaked out. My mum is far from a silent person, so if she were home in this small house, I'd have a hard time to not hear her. I stay silent, listening. Nothing. So I go back to what I was doing and figuring I was hearing things. A few moments later, I hear the dial tone again. This time I'm sure of it. I know Mum isn't home. This time I decide to inspect further. Thankfully, I was the proud owner of a cool flip phone. So I call the landline with my cell phone and nothing. I can hear it calling from my cell phone, but I don't hear anything from the phone downstairs. I hung up and I asked my friend Danny on MSN to call my house phone. A few moments later, she messages me saying, I've been calling your landline, but it says busy. My stomach sank. A few moments after Danny had apparently called me, only to be met with a busy signal, I began to hear a very loud, very aggressive stomping and running up the stairs. It sounded like heavy boots smacking the worn down, poorly carpeted stairs, but it was incredibly fast, sounding almost angry. Since the computer table was against the wall next to the stairs, I could hear everything. At first, I wondered if it was just my two cats fighting or getting the zoomies, but I doubted this given the sheer intensity of the running. This had to have been from a significant force. During all of this, I was frozen in place. I didn't know what to do. I couldn't run anywhere because the activity was happening right outside my door. I was basically stuck. This happened a few more times, and then all of a sudden, the alarm clock right in front of me started going off, like you'd set an alarm to a station, but no station in particular, just white noise, not relaxing white noise, blaring white noise. And it wasn't consistent. It would start for a second, stop, then begin again for a few more seconds and continue. It was sporadic and terrifying. At this point, my 13-year-old self was shit-baked. I started sobbing and immediately called my mum on my cell phone, begging her to come home. Something I'd never ever done before, given she was a single mum, and very rarely got to enjoy any time away from her kids. She heard the panic in my voice and got home as soon as she possibly could. Luckily, she was only 15 minutes away. When she got home, she ran into the house and I was barricaded in her room. I pleaded with her to check the landline as my friend Danny had reported it being busy, and when I called, nothing happened. She told me to call it, and sure enough, it rang. I felt like I was going crazy. Given the sheer terror in my voice, though, my mum never doubted my experience for a second. Thank God our time at that house was limited. Looking back on that experience, I now wonder if there were two entities at play. Perhaps it really was my nan who left the voicemail and turned on the kettle. But what the heck caused me so much terror? I believe that grief makes you more vulnerable to hauntings. I'm unsure why. Maybe you could provide insight into this. My most recent experience occurred a few years ago after I'd been living in Alberta for just over a year. My good friend Michael, who still lived in Newfoundland, decided to visit Alberta, where he also had other good friends, Emma, Hannah, and Katie. Whilst not in my immediate circle, I got along with them fine. Michael organised a trip to an Airbnb in Edmonton, 3 hours north of where I lived. I happily agreed to meet him and picked him up from the airport. Emma, Hannah and Katie were running a bit late though, so we decided to arrive at the Airbnb early to choose our rooms first. Early bird gets the worm, etc. The house was a beautiful large brick home that was a fairly new build, relative to houses I've lived in, so no more than 30 years old. The house included an ensuite on the main level, and in the basement, 2 regular bedrooms, a bedroom with 2 bunk beds, plus a rec room with a pull-out couch at the base of the stairs. Since Michael was the only guy and also the organiser of the trip, he requested the ensuite upstairs. I had no problem with this and knew the other guests who hadn't arrived yet wouldn't mind either. Michael and I went downstairs to the basement and looked at each of the rooms whilst I tried to decide which one I wanted. While the home itself was quite lovely and warm, despite the furnace giving out just hours before we checked in, luckily the hosts were on top of things and had plenty of space heaters sufficient to heat the house. The first room I entered had this terrible, insidious energy. It was not right. I could feel the hair standing up on my arms. The room itself was plain. A double bed, a random chair facing the bed in the corner of the room. The room itself had no personality, but there was something about it that made me want to get out of there as soon as possible. I nervously said, let's see what the other rooms are like, knowing there was no way in hell I was staying in that room. The other rooms were warm and welcoming, and I quickly picked the nice double bed in the adjacent room. Shortly after, the other girls arrive and pick out their room. Hannah wanted the bunk bed, Katie was happy with the pull-out couch in the rec room, and Emma picked the room I happily avoided. Then I progressed and we were playing some games, drinking games, as early 20-somethings do, and I found myself alone with Michael briefly. I finally opened up after a few drinks, of course, and said, Michael, that first room, do you get any off vibes? Jazz, he said. I wanted to say something. there was something super off about that room. Dark vibes for sure. Now, I'd felt crazy, but hearing him say he felt the same way was incredibly validating. The night progressed and we finally tell Emma about the room. Thankfully, she said she didn't feel anything and doesn't seem bothered by it. The night festivities come to a natural end and we all go to our respective rooms. I sleep like an absolute angel that night, and even on a good night, I'm usually up multiple times. The next morning, however, Katie says to me, "Jazz, what were you doing last night?" Now, I'm confused as I truly cannot remember leaving my room. "Huh?" I say. "I kept hearing you running up and down the stairs. I thought for sure it was you." I'm not entirely sure why she thought it was me. Maybe she'd already asked Emma and Hannah before asking me, but I assured her it wasn't me. She was clearly spooked as the other girls confirmed it wasn't them either. After breakfast, Michael and the girls all hit the road to their next destination. I was returning home alone. I realise I'm the last one in the house as I'm running behind on packing. I can't explain to you, but at a certain point, I just got this terrible, dreadful feeling like I had to run out of that house. So I basically ran out of that house and into my car because I knew I was no longer welcome in that house. Now, here's where things get even creepier. I got back to my apartment that evening, and all seems to be back to normal. One thing to note is I lived in a small basement apartment suite with my brother. It was all on one level. I had an ensuite in my bedroom and my brother's bedroom was next to mine, with a bathroom outside of his room in the hallway. I rarely ever used his bathroom. Only if I wanted to take a bath, as mine only had a shower. I wake up in the middle of the night and think I see a shadow at the base of my door, out in the hallway. I figured it was my brother using the bathroom and I fall back asleep. The next morning, my brother seemed annoyed with me, asking why I kept turning the light and fan on in the bathroom as it was keeping him awake. I'm confused because I figured that was him. We are both super creeped out and I realised the weird energy seems to have followed me from that Airbnb. The following few nights, I had absolutely terrible nightmares. One night, I swear I saw a figure at the base of my bed and felt paralysed, unable to scream. Another night, I'm awoken a few times by a loud crashing sound inside my own head. I wondered at this time if it was related to the SSRIs I'd been taking. Very possible, but such a strange sensation to wake up to a loud bang inside your own head. Shortly after that experience, I moved out of the apartment. I'm not sure if the dark energy ever left, but I am happy to say it didn't follow me. Well, that's it for my paranormal experiences. A part of me hopes this remains the end. But another part of me is somewhat open to experiencing more. That being said, I'd much prefer them to be warm, like my first paranormal experience. Kev, if you've made it this far, thank you. I truly love your podcast and the team you've built. Even if this doesn't make it on the show, I'd love to hear your inputs on the experiences above. It definitely feels good to get this off my chest and out of my drafts. Sending love from Canada, Jasmine. Well, first and foremost, Jasmine, wow. Thank you for sending your experience for this season of The Dark Paranormal. And I've not heard an experience like that. And I mean that twofold. Firstly, I've never heard the theory that grief could cause an opening to the other side. I think that's fascinating. And although right now I can't find the right words to say or describe why I believe that that could definitely be a thing, I do believe that could be a thing. It's not the same, but kind of similar to a discussion I had with a friend of mine, where we were debating the many encounters of people who at the time of death are greeted by a psychopomp, normally a member of the family, somebody who's there to take them to the next life. And we were debating, who's to say that image they're seeing, or those spirits they're seeing, aren't in fact demons? Because we often hear about demons masquerading on a Ouija board, for example, as a young, helpless girl, someone you will have an emotive reaction to. And therefore, that's how it gets you, that's how it attaches to you, because you've shown it an emotional bond. Surely if demons like to do that sort of thing and pretend to be other people, the most devious trick to play would be at the point of death to pretend to be the nice people guiding you over to the light and then take you elsewhere. But the idea or theory you've posited there, Jasmine, in terms of grief being an opener, if you will, or something that weakens the veil between the living and the dead, is an exceptional one, and one that in truth may already be out there and known. And I am, off the back of this episode, going to do a deep dive myself online to see if there's any other stories or indeed any other known theories about this. Because it could be like when people say don't use the Ouija board because you don't know what you're letting in. But let's go with the theory that when you're asking out to your nan for a sign that she's okay, your nan, her genuine spirit, unknowingly wants to let you know she's okay, and she manages to find a way through the veil to you to send you a message. Maybe your grief has an element of spiritual power to sort of weaken the veil, and her want to send you a message has an equal power, and therefore this passageway is created. Now, unless there's a rule book on the other side about how to then close that passage she's created, perhaps it's possible something else could follow that same passage. Something not so welcoming. It's one of the many reasons I love this show, is that I hear things and theories which I've never heard or come across before that I instantly want to go and investigate immediately. So thank you, Jasmine. And I said it was twofold why we chose this episode. The second one was our small team got together and we all agreed the cadence, the content of that email was 100% genuine as far as we were concerned. And believe me, it's very rare that something's as green-lit as this email was. So thank you, Jasmine. And you do say, and I understand why, when you say you'd be open to more paranormal experiences. And God forbid, but if you do happen to have any on the darker side, of course, you know where to send them. And for anyone who's listening, who has their own dark paranormal tale they want to share, email contact@thedarkparanormal.com. And irrelevant of length, we will make sure it finds an audience on one of our shows. Now, of course, we need to say a big, huge thank you to our wonderful community over on Patreon, especially our newest team members. So thank you so much. Don't forget, when you decide to join, you will get early ad-free access to everything on this main feed and also can gain access to the entire back catalogue of nearly 100 hours of Dark Bites content and a brand new Dark Bites episode each and every Sunday. Simply head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. Just like our wonderful new team members have, Jalissa Hankins, Laura Wilkinson, Brenda McGonagall, Renee Corley, Catherine Gray, Leslie, Matthew Bennett, Mr. Owl, Frederick Marmol, Ken Jennings, Vibeki Hochstad, Alexandria Dunlap, Jack Polman, Jen Landis, John Hill, Heather Payne, Tammy Jordal, Bicklin Charm, Aurora Kuntz, Spooky Simon, Oliver and Ryan G. Thank you so much, guys, from the bottom of my heart. I hope you enjoy all the early ad-free releases and, of course, those Dark Bites episodes and back catalogue. And don't forget, you don't have to be a Patreon member to be part of our community. Just spread the word on the show. It's completely free. Leave a nice review or tell someone who you know would appreciate this type of content. But for now, that wraps up episode 8 of season 18. We will be back next week, unbelievably, for our penultimate episode of season 18 already. So, until then, remember, whenever you're discussing the paranormal, always try and leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll speak to you next time, right here on The Dark Paranormal.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.